So we are continuing in this series. This morning, we're going to talk about why I believe in, you ready? Here it is. Look up on the screen. Here it is. Why I believe in the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I don't know what church background you come from, and obviously with a church of our size, we have different fruit flavors and all kinds, coming in from all different kinds of religious backgrounds. So we always want to, you know, I respect people's background. I mean, my background is diverse, born and raised Catholic, came out of the Catholic Church. I didn't really come out of the Catholic Church, just started going to a Baptist church, went from a Baptist church to Michelle's church, which was a Methodist church. And so I come from kind of a diverse background as far as Christianity goes. And with that being said, a lot of times in those background areas, you don't really realize something that you may be missing in light of your spiritual walk. So with that being said, one of those areas that I felt like that really impacted my life once I started growing in the Lord and really becoming a part of a local church is the fact that the Holy Spirit is real. He is a real deal, man. He's the real deal. And again, if you came from a church background where you may feel like the church didn't really talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, I know whenever we were at the Methodist church, and again, this is not bashing, not speaking negative of them. Great people, love God, on their way to heaven, praise God. But I know a lot of times our pastor didn't preach a lot about the person of the Holy Spirit. So really the only portion of the entire service that really talked about the Holy Spirit was the doxology. You know, anybody remember that? Some of you are afraid to raise your hand. Afraid to raise your hand. You remember that? Here it goes. Help me out. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here. Love, praise him among the heavenly. Can y'all see why we don't do this here? Praise Father, Son, and here it is, Holy Ghost. Come on now. Amen. You know, and that's about all that the Holy Spirit got throughout the service, all right? And again, I'm not dogging it. I'm not saying anything other than I think that the Holy Spirit should be a lot more front and center than what a lot of times in church backgrounds, church world, we make him. Because let me assure you of this today. He is the key to living this life. He is the key, man. He is the key. I feel like I'm talking about Ghostbusters, you know? Who's the key master? I am the gatekeeper. But anyway, some of you are like, Ghostbusters. What's that, Dad? How many of you remember Ghostbusters? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All right, anyway, but here's the reality. The Holy Spirit is the key to living this lifestyle, guys. The Holy Spirit is the key to living this lifestyle. The Bible teaches this. Church history teaches this. Everything teaches that the Holy Spirit is the key. Now, you may be somewhat like the disciples in the book of Acts in Acts chapter 19 were. Listen to what happened in that situation. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus finding some what? Disciples. Okay, let me ask you a question. Were these people that have given their heart to Christ? Yes. Come on, everybody say yes. These are disciples. They love God. They love Jesus. But check this out. Look at the next portion. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you what? Believe. Now, I don't want to get into too much of this. Next week, we'll talk more about the Holy Spirit as far as the power. But today, we're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we'll talk about his power. But today, we're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. You have disciples who hadn't even heard there was a Holy Spirit. Check out what it says. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They did. The Holy Spirit's living on the inside of them, but they don't know anything about him. They said, they said to him, we've not even so much as heard whether there was a Holy Spirit. You know, and I'm amazed that as I talk to Christians, oftentimes you talk to them about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy who? What? Hey, let me assure you of this. If you don't know anything about him, how are you going to allow him to lead your life? You got to know who he is. Amen? You got to know who he is. You got to know what he's doing. You got to know how he applies to your life. Because if not, you're going to really, really, really miss it. And not only that, something worse could happen in your spiritual walk. You could do something that you don't want to do with the Holy Spirit. And let me just show you two examples of that. If you got your Bible or watch up here on the screen, Ephesians 4:30 says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve. Do not grieve. Let me show you another example of that same thing. Acts 7:51. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always" what? Resist. Everybody say resist. You resist the Holy Spirit. And I just want you to be the type of person that does not, watch this, that does not resist the Holy Spirit, but watch this, assist the Holy Spirit. See, check this out. The Bible teaches we're to resist the devil and we're to assist the Holy Spirit in our lives so that he can transform our life. Most people though, not all, but some, will take and they will resist the Holy Spirit and assist the enemy. How many of you know that's not good? If you are going to see true life transformation in your life, you're going to have to assist the Holy Spirit. And let me just say this, speaking from my own spiritual journey and walk, if you want to call it that. One of the most frustrating things after I got saved was this right here. You ready? One of the most frustrating things was the fact that I knew what God's expectation was for me. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I knew he wanted me to live holy. I knew he wanted me to live right. I knew there was an expectation to live for God, okay? But the problem was, I did not experience it in my life in the sense of this. I was living so low and so low to the point that I knew God wanted me not to cuss, but I still cussed. I knew God wanted me to live with the right attitude, but I didn't have the right attitude. I knew that certain things were to happen, but I couldn't do it. So what I would do is I would say, I'm going to or not going to do this today. And I'll use cussing as an example because I had an issue with it, to say the least. I would get up and I'd say, okay, I'm born again, I love God, and today I'm not cussing. I'm just not gonna cuss. And I'm gonna do it and I'm gonna change my life and I'm changing my life, and today is the day where I'm gonna live cuss-free. Now, maybe it's not a big deal to you, but to me, at this time in my life, it was. So I said, I'm just going to do it. I'm not. Listen, by the time I would walk out the door, I'd be already cussing. And then I'd cuss at me for cussing that I got, I'm cussing. Frustrated. And maybe cussing isn't your, maybe you have an issue with your attitude. Maybe you have an issue of whatever the case might be. And here's what our tendency is with that. Our tendency is to say, see that, well, let me back up and say, that was my frustration. My frustration was, I want to live free. Here's God's expectation, but I can't. And I was frustrated. It wasn't until I got a revelation that it isn't me that's going to fix me. I'm going to say that again. I had to get a revelation that it wasn't me that was going to fix me. All right? It had to be, watch this, the Holy Spirit that was going to fix me. The Holy Spirit was going to have to fix me. Because the truth of the matter is, I could not fix me. I'm the one who messed me up. So I have to eliminate the problem, and the problem is me. So it wasn't, my life did not start changing till I said, okay, Charlie can't fix Charlie. Only someone greater than Charlie can fix Charlie. And that means I'm going to have to rely on, watch this, the Holy Spirit to fix Charlie. Because with the Holy Spirit fixing Charlie, Charlie can be fixed. But Charlie can't fix Charlie. Can I get a witness in here, all right? I want you to hear this, man. Because to me, I'm telling you, right now, if you'll grab a hold of this, it will free you. It will free you from the frustration that I had. And maybe the frustration that you had. I remember one time ministering to someone in our church, still a part of our church to this day. He struggled with smoking. He had been smoking since he was 13 years old. He came to me and said, Pastor Charlie, I want you to pray that I'll stop smoking. All right? And I said, here's the deal. I will pray for you to stop smoking, but I don't want you to stop smoking. How dare you, a pastor, tell somebody? I said, no, I don't want you to stop smoking. Because how many times have you already tried?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, several times. Right. You've tried by yourself to stop smoking. And guess what? It hasn't worked.
Right.
So here's what I want you to do. I want you to continue to smoke. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you stop smoking when he can break it off of your life. He said, well, I've never tried that. I said, just trust me on this. Try it. He went on, kept smoking, come to church, loved God, still loves God, kept smoking. 6 months to a year later, I don't know exactly, he would probably know the day, but came to me, said, Pastor Charlie, I'm not smoking no more. I said, you're not. He goes, nope, I quit cold turkey. I woke up one morning, the Holy Spirit took that away from me, and I'm not saying it happens this way for everybody, but hear my heart, hear my heart. He said, the Holy Spirit said, today is your day, you're done. He said, I threw them away, I haven't looked back, I don't even have the taste for it. Amen? Amen. Now, what's the difference? He tried many times to stop smoking. The difference was this. Who was the strength he was drawing from to be able to stop smoking? Is it self-effort? Is it Dr. Phil? Oprah? Think happy thoughts? Can I assure you of this? That may get you by for a day, but it's not going to last a lifetime. Because unless the change happens deep down within you, and the only person that can do that is the Holy Spirit, then it's not really going to work in your life. Praise God. So I want to encourage you as we talk about these things to ask the Lord, what is the thing in my life that you want to free me from that I maybe have struggled with in the past or am struggling with now that only you can free me from? With me, it was my tongue. I can vividly remember when I said, Lord, I'm not going to stop cussing until you do a work in me, so I'm just going to keep on cussing until you break it off me. I remember that. And it wasn't too long after that, it dropped. Dropped like a bad habit. And I didn't even want to do it anymore. It was the wildest thing. And that's when I really got a revelation that it's not me that does the work. It's the Holy Spirit in me that's going to free me. Come on, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So now, I want you to, in your heart, to even right now begin to watch this. Assist the Holy Spirit and yield to him. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't resist him. Assist him. You know, we want you to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to cooperate with you, I assure you, and free you from you. All right? So now, let's talk about it. Just first part of this is going to be theological, and then we'll move into some deeper stuff. But check this out. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? Who is he? If you got notes, if you're taking notes, write this down. If not, look up on the screen. Here we go. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. Everybody say the Father. Everybody say the word.
Word.
No, you gotta say it like you do from where I grew up. The word.
Word,
word. The Father, the Word, and the
Holy Spirit.
All right, check that out. The Bible teaches clearly, and I could go on and on about this. The Bible teaches clearly that there is a God the Father. God the Father. The Bible teaches clearly that there is a God the Son. You say, well, it doesn't say Son. No. Jesus' name before he got to the earth was the Word of God. When he manifested and was born of Mary, we call him Jesus. But there are other names for Jesus rather than Jesus. All right? His name's called Emmanuel, Counselor, Mighty God. There's Everlasting Father. He's called all those things. Jesus has many names, but he's still Jesus. All right? So you have God the Father, you have God the Son, and you have God the Holy Spirit. They're all three God, one God, three manifestations. And I know, don't write me, don't call me, don't email me, don't none of that. I don't want to hear it. All right? Listen, I'm not here to argue and debate the Trinity, but here's what I will tell you. The Bible clearly teaches that there is the triune nature of God. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the deal. Oftentimes, people struggle with that attitude or that idea of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what they will do is they will try and reduce the Godhead to understanding it, and they will say all there is Jesus. Okay, listen, the Bible doesn't teach that only Jesus exists. It teaches that there is a Father, that there is a Son, and there is the Holy Spirit. There is the Holy Spirit. And they are God. One God, three manifestations, one God. Everybody get that? And that Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, he is real and he is God. He's not the third person watered down that you received. He is God in the flesh, just like Jesus was God in the flesh. Amen? He's God. He's God. He's God. He's God. All right? So I wanted you to see that. Let's check this out. Next verse. Acts chapter 5, verse 34. And Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you would lie to the
Holy Spirit?
Okay, so time out. Who did he lie to?
Holy Spirit.
Oh, y'all still are weak in here. Who did he lie to?
Holy Spirit.
All right, one more time. Who did he lie to? The Holy Spirit. All right, now question for you. Did he lie to men? Watch this. Why do you lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back the piece of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not your own to control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to, but to, who did he lie to? God. Who did he lie to by name? Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. There are so many examples of the Holy Spirit being God, I could wear you out with it, but I'm not going to today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. But let me give you one more example. One of the great things that I like to do is I love to see how the Old Testament and the New Testament connect. They connect. And it's really one of the great testimonies of why I believe the Bible. Because the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's like two hands shaking. They always connect and they're always unified. And if you find a division, it's probably in the translation. It's never in the Word of God itself. So watch this. Check this out. I love this part of the Bible. We're going to look at, Jeremiah 31. I want you to see this. Behold, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made it with their forefathers in the day in which I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their, help me, minds, and write them in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my what? People. Now, look at verse 31 again. I want you to see this. Behold, the days are coming, says the
Lord.
Okay, everybody see that? It says who?
The Lord.
The Lord. All right, now I want to show you something that's pretty cool to me anyway. This same verse is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 10, and I want you to see what it says. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days. Jeremiah 31. Behold, the day is coming, says the who? Says the who? Says the Lord, all right? Watch this. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed this to us that after and before he said this, this is the covenant that I will make. Who said it? The Lord, who is called the Holy Spirit. Here, I wanted you to see that. Did y'all catch that, what I just did? I'm showing you how in the Old Testament, and there are many examples of this, in the Old Testament, something is spoken, and it says that the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said. And the Lord said. And then you'll pick up it in the New Testament, you'll find the very same words. Very same words. And it will say, as the Holy Spirit spoke. As the Holy Spirit spoke. Who is referred to as the
Lord.
There shouldn't be a doubt in your mind that God is the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit is God. Shouldn't be a doubt in your mind. Should not be a doubt in your mind. Now, the question which becomes even greater, again, we're building this line upon line, precept upon precept, is that, okay, we've established that the Holy Spirit is Lord. Now let's establish, where does he live? Where does he abide? Where is he at? Where is he? You ready? Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Come on, everybody say he's in me. See, you thought you were possessed, and you are. All right? I know some of you looking at your spouse going, I knew it. I knew it. No. Hey, we're not talking about possession like demon. We're talking about possession like God. All right? That God dwells in you. Now, if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not what? His. Let me show you one more verse and then I'll teach a little bit about it. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one by speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Let's just practice. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. Check this out. I can line up people, saved and unsaved, have them come up here, and I could pay people to say, tell me if Jesus is Lord. Say, Jesus is Lord. And they can say it. And people that believe Jesus is Lord, there is a conviction behind it. There's a belief behind it. Words are conduit of the Spirit is what they are. And they capture what we feel here. And people, whenever they say, well, Jesus is Lord. See, religious people can say, well, Jesus is Lord. And they make it sound like, well, it's no big deal. But to us that are born again, when we say Jesus is Lord, there's something anchoring us to it. And we can't even say it with faith without the Holy Spirit. So if you ever doubt, is the Holy Spirit living in me? Just ask yourself, can I say Jesus is Lord? If you can say Jesus is Lord, that tells you that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in you. One of the things that, you know, I don't know how spiritual you feel every day. I imagine there are some days you're like me where you're like, today I'm just not that spiritual. I know we like to think that every day is the same spiritually and we're growing every day and all that. And we are growing every day. But there are some days, come on, you and I, we can all get up and go, okay, Jesus, you need to put my head on straight today because I'm just not there today. All right? Okay, those are the days when you got to say, all right, I know the Holy Spirit lives in me and Jesus is Lord over my life and I confess that. And by saying that, you're declaring, I believe that the Holy Spirit lives in me and I am convinced that he does, praise God. Amen? You need to be able to say that over your life, that the Holy Spirit, or that Jesus is Lord. Because every time you say it, the Holy Spirit is activating himself into that. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell where?
In them.
I will dwell in them. One more verse and I'm done with this part. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, what? Dwells in you. Now think about the context of that and think about how powerful that is. That the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Is in you. How powerful are you? See, you in your flesh, you're not that powerful. But the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you, who is God, the one who from the beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and the Holy Spirit made it happen. Yes. The same one that did that lives in you. Christianity is the only religion in the world where it teaches that God himself has taken up residence in your body. I figured you'd be a little bit happier than that. Amen. Amen. Is it fair week? I need an elephant ear. No. Hey, God lives in you, man. And listen, and for you to understand the power that is available into your life, I'm talking about it next week. I need to shut up. But for you to understand, listen, it's the same power that raised Christ up from the dead dwells in you. Man, how powerful is God? He lives in you. And I know you got people argue, well, I don't know if God can heal. I don't know if God can this. I don't know if you can wrap your faith around everything that God can do. Because God is unlimited in his potential and power in your life. And I'm going there again. You got to come back next week. I'll talk about the power of God. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your immortal body. Does it say immortal? Does it say mortal? Does that mean your body right now? People say, well, I know we'll all be healed when we get to heaven. Yeah, no joke. But that isn't what this scripture says. This scripture says that God will give life to your mortal body, your flesh, health to your flesh. Have you ever seen anyone who's not born again? And maybe over a period of time, they give their heart to Christ, and maybe you haven't seen them since before they got saved. Then after they get saved, and maybe it's been a year or two, I've had that encounter with people. They've came to church. They didn't get saved. They get saved. Then they start coming to church, maybe our church or some other church. And when they do, it's like they look like they literally drunk from the fountain of youth. They went back in time. Their physical countenance changes because they've got Christ in their life now. You see people, they just look worn out because they don't have any life. Then they give their heart to Christ. They start following God. And suddenly, wow, they're alive on the inside. They were alive before, but not for Jesus. They were living, but not alive, is what they were. And so listen to this. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit has the power living in us to actually give life to our vessel and our bodies. How do you think I look so young? I'm just kidding. Oh, shut up. Babe, do I look young? Lie to me. Just lie to me. Jesus said it's okay. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, seriously though, on a serious note, He will give life to your flesh. He'll give life to your flesh. He will. He'll do those things. Amen? He will. He will. All you got to do is believe for it. Believe for it. Where does the Holy Spirit live? In you. Who's going to do the work? Holy Spirit. He is. Think about it this way. Whenever we come in here to worship, y'all came to worship this morning, right? Yeah. When you come to worship, one of the things that I found confusing whenever I first started going to church is we would always sing songs like, come by here, Jesus. Kumbaya. Lord, show up. Lord, come and have it all. Come this, come that. And I would hear these songs, and I was always thinking in my head, like, where's he at? Did he get lost? I mean, does he need direction? Do you need GPS? I mean, why is the Lord so far and we're in here? Well, why don't we move where he's at? We used to sing songs because here's what would happen with me, okay? I would read the Bible. I would open up the Bible and read the Bible, and I would read scriptures that said the Lord is in us, and the Lord is here. He is ever-present help in time of need, that where two are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And I'd read all those verses, and then we'd sing songs that, it's like, where'd God go? And then I start realizing, hold up, time out. Somebody's not on the right page. Maybe we should sing songs about what God does say, that he is here, and maybe we believe those songs. That's why we sing songs like, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your presence, Lord, you know, and we go on and on and on. Why are we, where is, how many, well, let me back it up and say it this way. How many of you have ever been either in your car, at your home, or wherever you might be, and you just started worshiping God or just having a spiritual moment? And it was undeniable to you that the Holy Spirit was there. What happened? What happened? Did the Holy Spirit leave heaven? Here's what happened. He lives in you. All you did was submitted, not resisted, submitted and facilitated his presence. That's how easy it really is. People talk, oh, I don't feel the Holy Spirit. You need to feel him. How? And I know we have to be careful not to live our life by feelings, but here's what I am saying. You should be able to get along with God and sense the tangible presence of the Lord in your life. Because he's real. And guess where he's at? In me. You're possessed by the Holy Spirit, praise God. Amen? Aren't you glad? All right. So the Holy Spirit lives in you. He lives in you. He is God. He is God. And he lives where? In you. Now, here's the next thing. What does he do in me? What exactly does he do in me? Might be the question you might be asking. All right? Let me say it this way. Look at this. Jesus said, well, let me say this. There are several things that the Holy Spirit does in your life. All right? He is God. He lives in you. Oh, y'all gonna get it. By the end of the service, you're gonna be like, oh, he's God, he's in me. Yeah. Hey, I want you to get it, man. I want you to get why. He's the key to transforming your life. He's the key. He's the key. Here's the reality. You are gonna, let me say it this way. You're either gonna try and live for God through self-effort, or you're gonna live for God through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you try and live for God through self-effort, you're going to find out that you're only so strong and you'll fail. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead your life, and the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, you will find that He will break things off of your life as soon as you yield them to Him. It's two roads. Let me talk about the other just for a second. If you try and please God in your flesh, you're going to be very disappointed with yourself. And you're going to be a frustrated Christian. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life from the inside out, you'll find out that it is very, very fulfilling. It's two opposite worlds. Two opposite worlds. This is why you have to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, not you do the work. Because you can't change you. Did I say that already? Did I say it twice at least? They say the average person needs to hear it five times. Have I said it five times? No? Okay, listen. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You need to allow the Holy Spirit. So now let me ask you this. What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives specifically? Let's look at it. I will pray to the Father and He will give you another, the helper. How many of you need a helper sometimes? How many of you are going to need a helper when the kids go back to school? You're going to need a helper to get those kids going. How many of you need a helper controlling your tongue? See, I know, well, for example, with cussing with me, I tried. I would get up, today I'm not going to. I'd be cussing by the time I walked out the door. And then something would happen at work, I'd be cussing at me because I was mad because I cussed. Frustrated. I'd try and witness to someone and tell them about Jesus and get so mad I'm cussing at them. I was the great evangelistic process of Charlie Riley. Come over here, you blankety blank. I'll tell you something about the blankety blank gospel. I don't even know that wasn't blankety blank working. You know what I mean? It doesn't work. It doesn't work because it's self-effort. You have to allow the Holy Spirit. And listen, here's what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about you not putting effort into it. Everybody hear that? I'm not talking about you not putting effort into it. I'm talking about you leaning your effort on the Holy Spirit. Not you going, well, the Holy Spirit's going to do everything. I ain't got to do nothing. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying you saying, Holy Spirit, come and help me and transform my life and control this part of my life because I'm not doing a very good job in this area. See, the Holy Spirit is there to be your helper. Lord, I don't know how. I don't know how to do something. Lord, I'll give you an example. This last week, I was working on my son's 68 Mustang. And I was welding up a bracket. And I got it all welded up in there. And I looked back. I walked back. I spent like 4 hours on this thing. I looked back. It looked like jetpacks underneath the car. I looked at that. I said, that is hideous. That is hideous. Friday morning, I'm out there with a Sawzall cutting it all off. Getting it off. Because it looked bad. I literally stepped back and I said, now listen to this, hear my heart. I said, Lord, show me how to fix this because I'm not quite sure how I want to do this. I said, Lord, now here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is who I'm talking to. I called Him Lord. So here's my point. Don't get legalistic with this where I have to say Holy Spirit to talk to the Holy Spirit. And I have to say, no. If you say Lord, God understands. Amen. Right? I know a lot of people say, Jesus, you can talk to Jesus, talk to the Father. But did you know that the Bible teaches us to pray to the Father in Jesus' name? I'm not saying you can't pray to Jesus. I'm saying that the Bible teaches us to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit lives. I said that. He lives in us and He is our helper. If I have God in me and He is my helper, shouldn't I call on Him to help me? If I'm going to Walmart, Lord, help me get in and out. In and out. Hey, if I'm going to McDonald's, Lord, help them get my order right the first time. Come on, am I right? Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, and help me not take it out on the 17-year-old kid working the drive-thru. Lord, help me. Come on, am I right? Lord, help me. Lord, help me. When you're saying that, Lord, help me, it's okay to call and ask him for help. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. He's a helper. He's a helper, and he wants to help us. But we can't lean on ourselves. Charlie, help Charlie. That's weird. We got to say, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, help me to walk this out. Look, Holy Spirit, help me be a father. Help, Holy Spirit, help me. Lord, help me be a good husband. Help me in these areas of my life. Because I really want to try. Lord, help me catch this fish. Lord, here comes in a few months. Lord, help a deer walk past here. God, plow him and hook him up to the truck. Lord, help me. Come on. Can I get a dude to witness? Amen. Amen. All right. So listen, you think, here's what I'm trying to break off of you. And there's a reason I'm kind of pushing on this. I want you to quit, stop like I did. Whenever I first got saved, the only time I talked about the Holy Spirit or wanted the Holy Spirit to be a part of my life is when I came to church. And the Bible says he's a helper and he's there to help you. And he's not here just to help you when you're in church. Amen. All right? Although we don't oppose him, we want him here and helping us in church to learn and to grow and to study the word and all those things. But the Holy Spirit is much, much bigger than that. He wants to help you in everything. Maybe you're a lady and you're cooking and you jacked up the recipe. Like the other day I didn't realize this, but Michelle was gone. And she's like, yeah, you know, put some stuff on the stove. And I was cooking and I was like, oh, baked beans. Yeah, that's right. Michelle puts ketchup and cinnamon in there, I think. So I put, my wife does not put cinnamon in there, by the way. Ask me how I found that out. So I put ketchup in the baked beans and I took the cinnamon. I'm like, yeah, that's about right. I dumped it. Well, when I did it, I didn't realize the lid, there's not like controlled pour on this thing. This thing went in. So I'm scraping the cinnamon out in the trash. All right. Michelle gets home. I'm like, hey, listen, just want to let you know. She goes, yeah, what's that? I said, listen, I was putting cinnamon in the baked beans. You what? As I was putting cinnamon in the baked beans. That's what you do, right? She goes, no, brown sugar. Oh, well, here's what I told her. I said, it's cinnamon tonight. it's a little cinnamony tonight. Okay, the kids are home. The kids come home. Mike gets him a big old bowl of it. He goes, we're sitting in the living room. He goes, what's wrong with the baked beans? What's wrong with the baked beans? Michelle, like every good wife, she goes, ask your dad. How many of you know I need help cooking? Man, I need help. I need Jesus to help me. Oh, Lord. Hey, but I kid you not, I believe with all my heart, that you can ask the Lord to help you with anything. Anything. Don't just make it spiritual. In my world, everything is spiritual because everything affects my spiritual walk with God. Amen? And you'll be amazed at how many times when you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, he will help you with the things that are the smallest little things, but they're a blessing to you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. He is your what? Helper. Yes, he is. He is your helper. Not only that, he is your, you ready? Teacher. He's your teacher. He's your teacher. Check this out. John 14:25. These things I've spoken to you that while being present with you, but the helper, the who? Holy Spirit, whom the Father will what? Send in my name. He will do what? Teach you about spiritual things. He'll teach you about spiritual things. He'll teach you about what? All things. He's willing to teach you about all things. About all things. about all things, about all things. He'll teach you about all things. You know, most of you may or may not know, but I love history. And it's amazing to me what the Lord will show me. The Holy Spirit will speak to me in history about things that are happening in our culture. The Holy Spirit does that. It's pretty powerful in my world. You know, the Holy Spirit's helped me work on cars before. The Holy Spirit's helped me with menial tasks. My point is this, as we become more aware of his ability to help us, he will teach us at the same time. He will teach us. He desires to teach. He wants us to live all that we have to live for him. And whenever we don't resist him, but assist him and apply ourselves and allow ourselves to become more aware of him, he will teach us and help us in all things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He'll teach us. Look at this. And he will bring all things to your what? Remembrance, which I said to you. It's pretty amazing. As a pastor, I see this more than anything. Maybe you've never experienced this, or maybe some of you have. But I know with me, a lot of times I'll be out somewhere in the community, fishing, drag strip, house, whatever. And someone will say, hey, Pastor Charlie, what's that Bible verse? And they'll rattle off a Bible verse. And I'll say, hey, give me a second. Let me think about it. You know what I mean? And because it'll take me a second to kind of catch up to it. But yet I can be up here preaching and I could have, I could have one Bible verse on my notes, but I may go five different Bible verses. Because I get rolling in it, and the Holy Spirit brings it to my attention, and I can quote it, just, it's there. But I can't do that sometimes at the house. Like right now, for example, I could quote the whole 23rd Psalm. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I could just rattle that thing off right now, because I'm in that flow. The Holy Spirit, I just feel him moving and ministering to people and loving on people. And it's just, it's readily available. He brings it all to your remembrance. Yet I can go home and I can be mowing the grass and a 23rd song. How does that even start? I mean, you know, and it's amazing how when you need him, he's there. So here's my point in saying that. Don't get worried if you're out mowing and you can't think of a Bible verse. I do the same thing. But know this, if you put it in you, he's there, he remembers it, he's got you, and he'll bring it back to your remembrance when you need it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So don't panic. Look at this right here. Bring all things to your remembrance. Watch this. Last thing, I believe he's a helper, he's a teacher. Oh, I got to share this verse with you. I love this. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from Yeah, he is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by who?
God.
Now, everybody, look at what he's saying. He's saying this, you've been given the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? You have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know. Everybody see that?
Yes.
That we might know. We might know what? The things which have been freely given to us by God.
Amen.
We have the Holy Spirit so he can teach us the things that God has given us.
Yes.
So whenever I stand up here and I say, by his stripes we are healed. How did I get that? I got that from the Holy Spirit. How can I get up here and say, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind? In other words, let me translate it. Charlie Riley Amplified Bible. Depression can be broken off of you. How do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit has revealed it through his word. How do I know certain things belong to us as children of God? The Holy Spirit revealed it to us. How do I know that all my sins, past, present, and future, are washed? Washed, never to be seen again. As far as from the east is from the west. How do I know that? The Holy Spirit reveals it through his word. Holy Spirit reveals it. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals the word of God to us. He turns the lights on. All right? So if you're one of those people that reads the Bible and you're not getting anything out of it, guess who you need to? Well, first of all, make sure you're reading a translation that makes sense. I could teach you about Bible translations, but make sure you're reading one that makes sense. But second of all, ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight to it. He won't give you anything different than he gives me. We're all going to be on the same page. Right? Ask the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher. He's the helper. He will help us understand the Bible. Praise God. Look at this. I love this. These things we also speak not in words of man's wisdom, but teaches us, but which the Holy Spirit teaches us. Who teaches us? The Holy Spirit. But Pastor Charlie, you're teaching. Yes. Yes. The Bible says that there's what's called the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I stand in that. I stand in one of those offices. Okay, that's fine. But understand this. As a teacher of the Bible, I'm only teaching what the Holy Spirit gives me, and you're bearing witness to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Yes. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Are there times whenever I may say something that you might be like, oh, that's not God? I'll be honest, there are some times when what I'm saying isn't God. I may get off on a joke or something and you'll be like, well, that's not for me. Okay, I get it. I understand that. Eat the meat, spit the bones out. Eat the meat, man. Eat the meat. Sometimes I know my jokes are terrible. Two tomatoes running down the road. One steps on the one behind it. Hey, ketchup. That was not the Holy Spirit. That's Charlie Riley. All right? The Holy Spirit, I don't even think that thinks that's funny. But I get a kick out of it. All right? So understand the difference. Understand the difference between, you know, what the Holy Spirit's speaking and what people say. Amen. Amen. Know the Holy Spirit's voice and when he speaks. All right, nevertheless, here we go. You ready? Last thing. Write this down. He is a true guide. He's a teacher, he's a helper, and he is a true guide. He will guide you in your life. He will guide you in your life. If you're heading down the wrong path, you are probably not going to be able to figure out which way do you need to get straight on. You need him to help you. You need him to help you. Look at this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that you go away. Now, everybody look at me and check this out. Look at this. If I asked you this, don't answer, don't respond. If I asked you, would you rather have Jesus in the flesh right here or the Holy Spirit inside of you? Which one would you rather have? Most people would probably say, if you get them out of the religious context of church, they'd say, I'd rather have Jesus right here. Okay, only problem with that is, if you have Jesus out there, he isn't in here. And if he's out there, you can't understand everything that he is. Because you need the Holy Spirit to reveal to you who he is. Did y'all get that? You need the Holy Spirit to reveal who he is. You need the Holy Spirit to reveal to you he's your healer. You need the Holy Spirit to reveal to you he's your savior. You need the Holy Spirit to reveal to you that he can do all things. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? You need the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, it's much more expedient for you, it's better for you that I leave and give you the Holy Spirit so that he can be in you and he can reveal to you, lead you and guide you and teach you these things. Watch, here we go. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the who? World of sin. He will, of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not what? Believe. He's going to convict the world of sin because they don't believe. He's going to convict us, the church, of righteousness. And because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Watch this. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Watch. But however, when he's a person. When he, the Spirit of truth, so the Holy Spirit is always on the side of truth, all right, has come, he will guide you. Yes, he will. Guide you into what? All truth. Yes, he will. And if there's truth, there must be a, talk to me. If there's truth, there must be a lie. Guess which way he's going to lead you? Truth. He's going to lead you into truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Glorify Jesus. And he will take what is mine and declare it to you, again, revealing the things that God has for us. How do you get that? By the Holy Spirit. by the Holy Spirit. All these things that all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to who? You. Who's going to do that? The Holy Spirit. How many of you believe you need the Holy Spirit? The person. How many of you know he lives on the inside of you? If you're a child of God and you're born again, he lives inside of you. Now listen, if you're not saved today, he doesn't live on the inside of you. He wants to, because he wants to lead you, guide you, and help you. But if you're here and you're not born again, he doesn't live on the inside of you. And you know what you're trying to do? You're trying to change your life through self-effort. And I'm telling you, it never works. Here's what Zechariah 4:6 says this. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. How is God going to transform your life? By his Spirit. How's God going to do big things in your life? By his Spirit, by his Spirit. How's he going to bring your attitude under control? By his Spirit, by his Spirit. How's he going to do anything in your life, really? By his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to do the work in you. The person of the Godhead, third person of the Godhead, he does the work in you. And when he does it, how many of you know it's going to stick? It's going to last. He's going to make a lasting impression on your life. A lasting impression. So here's what I want to do. We're going to do two things here. I want to pray for people. Maybe they've not been saved, born again. We're going to pray for those folks. And then I'm going to lead you right out of that prayer into a prayer. I want you to ask the Lord, what is the one thing that you want the Holy Spirit to begin to move in you and work with you with? Everybody's got at least, in my opinion, everybody's got at least one thing in their life that they believe God wants to change. How many of you got one thing? I know I got one. How many of you got 12? I got things in my life I want to change, or areas and things that I want to see changed. So let's pray about those. You ready? Let's pray. Bow your head, close your eyes.